10 Safi on 2 for LED batteries. GA batteries.
We're with you on 2, Sophie. Go ahead.
The numbers of those batteries is 1014 and 1015, and both have 3 LEDs.
We copy. Thanks, Sophie.
Welcome.
Huntsville, Chris, 2 LSG, work volume redeployed.
Chris, Huntsville copies. Many thanks.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Station Houston on Space Ground 2 for any available crew and a TDRS East update.
Houston, station on 2. Did you get a call back there? I was out of comm spectrum that I can answer.
We did not, but no worries. Just wanted to let you know that here in about 30 seconds, we're going to hand over to TDRS East. We expect it to be recovered. Folks on the ground have performed recovery actions. If we don't, for whatever reason, though, we'll pick back up about 10 minutes after that, the start of that pass, so 10 minutes from now.
Okay, I'll pass it along.
Station Munich on Space Ground 2 for any available crew member and a quick help with E4D power.
Yeah, ready to hear what's your name?
Josephine, we have no contact with the Surface Pro, so if you could check if the LED is on, and then we can go from there if we need to trace the power chain or not. And that is the white LED on the power cable.
Okay, I'll do that. Unit from Sophie, so it was plugged, the whole physical chain was coherent and plugged, and the GFCI was not connected, so I just did a reset of the GFCI, so now I see the white light on it.
Sophie, thank you very much for that. Could you also press the power button on the Surface Pro? And Sophie, we got good data. Thank you very much for your support.
You're very welcome.
Houston Station on 2 for EDA battery.
Hey, Jessica, you're go in step 24, if that's what you're looking for.
It is. Thank you very much. Copy your go.
Houston Station on 2 for EDA procedure.
We're with you on 2, Anil. Go ahead.
All right, I'm doing this with Jack. It's 4.911, and we're on step 4.6.2. We're taking a look at the Yedeve. It's 1483, and here's our findings. The quantity of bubbles is less than 5%. No damage to liner. Lot quantity remaining is also less than 5%. The color of the fluid is nominal, and we are not seeing any precipitate.
Okay, thanks for the report. We copy.
Stay airlock on 2.
With you on 2, Jessica, go ahead.
Procedure asked me to bring up the Node 1 and airlock cameras. Chris is using the airlock camera, the Node 1 camera for his IMTP, so I've got the airlock camera.
Good deal, thanks. Airlock Houston on Space Ground 2 for Reba. Hey, Jessica. So we're going to go into about a 10-minute LOS here in 4 minutes. For your procedure, you can proceed on through step 31, so stop at step 32. At 32, we'll do the HECA checkout once we get back AOS and then let you proceed on from there.
Okay, copy. I'll proceed, and I'll wait for you guys at step 32. Houston airlock on 2.
We're with you.
Yeah, I made it to step 32, so I'm looking for your go. I'm assuming you haven't yet verified data since you were LOS.
Thanks for the delay, Jessica. We are going to take about 10 minutes to perform that checkout, so you can go ahead and grab some coffee while we do that, and we'll let you know when we're ready for you to come back to us.
Okay, you understand the coffee mandate. Thank you.
Station Houston on Space Ground 2 for Jessica and Reba.
Right on 2.
All right, we had a good HECA checkout, so thanks for hanging out. We're ready for you to pick back up in step 33.
Okay, copy. I'll pick up at 33. Thanks. I'm still station on 2 for Ivy Jen.
Jessica, go on 2 for Ivy Jen.
Just a quick question for this water fill. I know it asks to change the PWD adapter for each bag. Just wondering if that's necessary or not, since, you know, it's just already connected to the PWD, so you're not really changing anything. The reason I'm asking, I'm not sure how many more of these sessions we have, but there are only 3 more. I have 2 out for today, but there are only 3 more after that. So I'm just wondering if that matches your expectation and whether or not we need to conserve those.
Copy the question. Let me check. Deshaun, we'll back with you on to Jessica for answers.
Go ahead.
IV Gen Ops should wrap up tomorrow, so expectation is go ahead and utilize 2 today for the bag fills. You'll have 1 additional fill tomorrow, and then that leaves us with 2 remaining spares. And the requirement to change these out comes from that, the PWD requirement. So we want to maintain that, and that should be fine for the ops big picture.
Okay, copy. Sounds good. Thank you.
Station Houston on Space Ground 2 for Jack and the failed WHC pump separator.
Okay, Jack on 2. I think you said I failed the WHC.
No, yeah, maybe I should have used a different word while you guys were hanging out in Node 1. We just wanted to let you know that we've been having discussions on what to do with the failed pump separator that you guys R&R'd yesterday. We found products that approved it for trash, but we need to talk with the increment team to figure out a forward plan for it. So no definitive answer for you yet, but just wanted to let you know that we're talking.
Okay, sounds good. I will pass that along to Chris. I think he's the one, he knows it all the work, and I think he knows where he stowed it, but we will keep standing by for follow-on words.
Good deal, Jack. Thanks.
Still station on 2 for Ivy Chen.
We're with you on 2.
Just checking what channel we will be working on today.
Be on Space to Ground 3.
Okay, copy 3, and then it looks like I'll be inserting all 4 IV bags, the 2 water bags, but only 20 of the syringes for now, and then the 4 adapters.
That is correct, but we also wanted to give you the option. You'll be creating 4 double bag 24x24 Ziplocs. So if you wanted to take those out of LSG, I can give you the labeling instructions and you can label them outside of LSG.
Yeah, that probably would be faster to do outside. So you want me to just grab all of those and then we'll do that first?
Yes.
Okay, sounds good. And then for a trash bag, are there enough bags in there right now for one of them to be a trash bag, or do I need another trash bag?
There should be an extra bag you can use as a trash bag. That's already inside LSG.
Thanks, Sophie. I'm 2 for Columbus Gunfighter.
And this is Munich. Go ahead, Sophie.
Hello, good to hear your voice. So I just did the activity for the smartwatch and just wanted to check with you that you're happy with the view.
Sophie, we still need a second. Up to now, we don't have the video, but it's in work.
Okay. I'll probably proceed to my next activity and just give me a call if you don't like the view and I need to change anything.
Sounds like a plan.
And Sophie on 2 for AG batteries.
With you on 2, Sophie, go ahead.
The charge indicator on the battery charger is solid, so batteries are fully charged, and the 2 of them have 4 LEDs. So am I go to proceed in step 2.1?
You are go in step 2.1.
Thank you. Houston from Sophie, with that I confirm that the battery serial number 1014 and 1015 have 4 green LEDs.
Copy 1014 and 1015.
Right. Houston from Sophie for AG.
Go for AGA.
Serial number for which I'm replacing the batteries is serial number 1008.
Houston copies, and we have about a minute to hand over.
And station 2PM2 for AGA batteries.
With you on 2, Sophie, go ahead.
The two batteries that I just placed onto the charger are serial number 1006 and 1007, and they each had 3 LEDs.
Copy 1006 and 7 on the charger with 3 LEDs.
Houston, station on 2 for stowage.
Go for stowage.
Just a question in step 214.03. I know you guys updated this one since it didn't fit in the original location that was listed. It's telling me to take this Maxi, this kit, and put it in a 3.0 and then stow it in PMM. You know, this is like a pretty hefty kit. I would recommend just stowing it by itself. A 3.0 is way bigger. There'll just be a lot of empty space. So would we be okay just stowing this directly in PMM in that location, or do you really want me to put it in a giant bag?
Jess, that's a great idea. You can stow it as is in a PMM, in the PMM.
All right, I'll do that. Thanks.
Thanks, station Sophie on 2 for Rewatchable.
Yeah, go ahead, Sophie.
I'm just checking in for the next for camcorder view, as well as what do you need for me. I see that I have a small tech task on your go in a few minutes.
And first of all, Sophie, the view was good, and I'm just checking about the reconnection of a cable.
Okay.
And Sophie, it's the smartwatch cable, of course, between the laptop and the smartwatch, and please disconnect and reconnect.
I understand. I need to disconnect and reconnect the smartwatch cable, yes.
Yep, that's a good understanding, yeah.
And does it mean I have a go to do that?
Yes, and we are in a good config, so go for disconnect and reconnection.
There you go. She's with you, one too. Yes, we'll do. That's complete. She's with you, too. Are you changing the smartwatch cable? And just cable complete. And I can also try another charging port on the laptop. Go ahead, one too. Okay, that's done. And another interesting thing to do is to check if with the other watch you would have visibility or not. That's activity complete. So if you do so. Okay, I understand the top right button, holding it for a while. I'll put a timer 2 minutes as soon as I see the triangle. Okay, it's good to understand what means for a while. Okay, so last call for 30 seconds, is that it? Okay, I'll do it right away.
Houston, station on 2, Neil and Jack are ready for scene and voice check. Will do. Houston, station on 2, can you check that camera view and let me know what you think?
And lift off of Neil, that's a good scene and voice check. And then a reminder once we get started.
Station, this is Houston. Are you ready for the event?
We are ready for the event.
NBC News, this is Mission Control Houston. Please call station for a voice check.
Station, this is Gatti Schwartz with NBC News. How do you hear me?
We hear you loud and clear. How do you hear us?
I hear you fantastic. Greeting from 30 Rock. What's out your window right now?
It is the beautiful planet Earth. It's a day pass, which means we can see everything that's rotating by us, and I've been here for 2 days, and so anytime I look out there, I'm just astounded by everything I see.
The Artemis II mission has reignited so much wonder once again in space. Does it feel that way up in the International Space Station?
That's a great question, and we are so excited for our friends and colleagues on Artemis II and for the whole team, the amount of success that they've had sending humans around the moon again for the first time in decades. It's so cool. From up here, our experience of it was pretty awesome. We have good connectivity, so we were hearing stuff from home, and we were hearing stuff from the mission control team. We had the opportunity to have a spacecraft-to-spacecraft conversation with the Artemis II crew on their way back, on their translunar flight back from the moon to Earth. And that's super special, right? Humans don't often get the opportunity to have multiple spacecraft talking to each other, sharing the stories of the experiences that they saw, the similarities of the crew's experience from their time on the space station, and the things that they saw on Artemis II that, having had humans here on space station for 25 years, that they saw help that program grow and be the success that it is.
Yeah. Humans also don't get to just drop the mic and have it float in front of them perfectly. It is so wild to see, you know, microgravity in action. Sorry for the distraction there, but that is incredible stuff. I know Artemis IV is coming up, and either one of you could be chosen. Both of you could be spending a whole lot of time on the moon in the near future. What are your lunar dreams?
First, it's very hard. You're right. It's very hard to drop the mic here. But the folks on Artemis II definitely did. But Artemis IV, lunar dreams, I love NASA's ambitions to just do the near impossible, to change our future, and to start a lunar base. I mean, I'm an emergency medicine doctor. I would absolutely like to work in a clinic there, keep people healthy, figure out how to practice medicine. And the cool thing is the space station is kind of a stepping stone to doing that. I'm only on day two, but each day we kind of learn what it takes to take care of people, the ins and outs of daily life, and I think those skills are just directly applicable to something like a lunar base. So that's my small ambition.
First lunar clinic. That's yours. That's what you're claiming. I know you just got up there. We saw the video that you posted from, you know, above all of us or below all of us. I know up and down is a little bit weird in space, but I also saw you talk a little bit about the vastness of that domain and thank the Space Guardians. Was that striking?
It is striking because it is in so many ways just this new area and field for all of us, and we're really hitting this point where it's just opening up. You're seeing more people fly to space. You're seeing more missions. It's like in the past year and in the coming years, it's going to accelerate so fast, and it's lucky that as a country we're positioned to be there to support it and to keep it open and accessible to everybody. And so I think one of the most important jobs will be for those guardians and the future ones that are thinking about it. I can't think of anything more exciting. So that's why I would love sharing this with people and try to encourage anyone who wants to do that. Jack here is in the Navy. That would be cooler, huh? If you were in the Navy, then you'd be having more fun. That'd be the only way. He likes to joke around a lot.
Speaking of jokes, I mean, you've only been up there for day two, but like, what kind of shenanigans happen behind the scenes?
All great shenanigans happen behind the scenes. That is right.
Well, they're drawing a lot of joy out of watching me crash into things. It's kind of like being a toddler and you're learning to get around a little bit. Sometimes you go too fast and you hit some valuable cameras and things like that. They try to keep it safe, but there is a learning curve to operating in microgravity. In fact, we discussed whether or not we should try to do a backflip here, but Jack was a little bit worried that I hadn't hit Simone Biles level dexterity. But maybe the next interview.
Wait, hold up. Now, next interview, you got the microphone doing backflips. I believe in you. You made it all the way up there. I think it's possible. Let's see. Simone Biles has never done that. And she is the GOAT. That was Olympic-level backflipping. First time you could have crashed. I mean, you got the suits right there next to you. Very valuable stuff. 10 out of 10. Thank you so much. Hey, it's so interesting to talk to you because, I mean, you have a background in medicine. I know a lot of the experiments that you've taken up there are going to be studying the effects of the vascular system and how the human body interacts with space. We've been going up to space for quite some time. How do we not understand all of this?
I think it's just so new, and we haven't sent enough people up. There's been somewhere on the order of 600 or to 700 people who have flown to space. We've learned so much about medicine on Earth over millions, hundreds of millions of people over time have built knowledge. 600's not that much to learn these things, so we're discovering new diseases. And just like Guardians out there, I encourage anyone who's interested in space medicine or medicine to think about it, because there's no field like this where you can just learn a completely new disease process. So it's super interesting from that perspective. And just today we did a really cool experiment where we took water and we turned it into IV fluid. I was doing that with the astronaut Jessica Meir here. And so we're just developing new skills out here, these skills that are going to apply to things that we're going to do in the future.
The first lunar hospital has to have your name on it. Incredible experimentation. Another one is the growth, if I'm reading this correctly, but you guys are growing crystals up in space, and it seems as though that could open up a whole revolution in space manufacturing. Does it seem like that's on the horizon?
It's hard to predict exactly what's going to happen in the future, but things are definitely moving in that direction, right? We can grow crystal and biological organisms and cells up here without the same effect that gravity has on the surface to the Earth, right? These types of structures can be complex, and they can be driven during their growth cycle of which direction gravity is pointing. And up here, it doesn't have the same effect, but we have all the other same conditions. We have the same pressure, the same atmosphere composition. We just don't have that same gravity vector. So it is interesting to see how the crystals grow, how the teams and the scientists that apply for grants that work with the national laboratory that the International Space Station is to develop these experiments and grow these products, both for pure research, just to understand how this material science, how these types of things work, but also for the future of space manufacturing and the economy of low Earth orbit and beyond. And the more that we can figure out here on the space station, the more science and technology development that we do here, the better off we're going to be when we go to the moon and we go to Mars and beyond, because we're going to have that knowledge and technology behind us to help us out.
Yeah, it's so interesting that you can take gravity out of the equation, something that is so important, so, you know, determining how we've evolved, all those things, all of a sudden gravity's out of the equation and very different things can happen. I do want to ask, you know, you guys had that scare up on the International Space Station with the leak. There was the evacuation to a Crew Dragon. How do situations like that work?
Situations like that are handled very professionally by both the teams up here and the teams on the ground. We train before we come up here for years to understand how the systems work, how our detection methods can tell us where the leak is and what the rate is and what level of response that we have to have. We work hand in hand with our international partners from around the world to understand those types of problems and react in the most appropriate way. So we are keeping ourselves safe to the max extent possible and protecting the station and the investment that we have up here as we continue to do science. So it was a normal day, certainly, as we went through that, but also it felt very calm. It was very, we went through the steps of the procedure methodically. We had incredible support from the ground and our colleagues up here as well, and we just worked through the problem until we got to a satisfying solution, and by the end of the day, we were back to work doing our normal science. So I would say that everything kind of worked as advertised, and the teams performed pretty well.
It's such an interesting thing. I mean, you have to put so much trust in the system, so much trust in the structure, and everyone that got it to where it is. And yet, I imagine the first night in space, at least for myself,
It was actually pretty good. We did a sleep shift in Russia so that we were on station time, which is Greenwich Mean Time. And then we, when I got up here, it was in the evening, and there was two, you know, incredible events. One was closing in. I saw a space station, and we spent so many years studying it, and to, like, see it glinting in the sunlight, reflecting back at us. It was just so beautifully complex and amazing. I think I was more marveling at what a monument to what we were able to achieve together, more so than thinking about some of the potential downstream problems that could happen. So I think I shifted a bit towards optimism there, but I do know that people and all the engineers that are working on this problem, and we've certainly spent a lot of time talking with them, and they are the best in the business. So I think we put a lot of trust in each other to just get this incredibly difficult job done. And so that helps me sleep well at night, plus being a little bit tired from a pretty long day.
Yeah, and also you don't have pesky gravity weighing down on your body. I imagine that does wonders for sleep as well. You two are up on the International Space Station, and at NASA, it's such an interesting time. I mean, you've got the old school, the fact that you went up on a Soyuz rocket. You've got the training that you're doing on Crew Dragons and then possibly beyond with Starship, with possibly a lunar lander from Blue Origin. Is it difficult to have one foot in, like, the old legacy technology that is tried and true, and then another foot in engineering that's happening in real time?
We can both answer this one. I think it's actually pretty great because you get a different approach to the same problem, and people just solve it in different ways, and that just expands your toolkit of ways you can handle things. And it is a truly unique experience to fly in a Soyuz, and I'm grateful for that. It's steeped in tradition, and one of the really cool things is just kind of learning from my crewmates how they approach specific things. Like a small thing is the rocket's held up by these counterbalanced weights, and they just drop away during launch, and they roll over their center of gravity, and they just fall away, and it just launches. And it's such a simple engineering design. It just broadens your perspective. But I'll ask Jack what he thinks about Dragon in comparison to it. But
I think when we talk about the different technologies, we're really talking about the people that have put all this technology together and engineering solutions as well. And one of the really awesome parts about the space program is that everyone who's here is so passionate and excited. NASA has just this most incredible workforce of people that choose to be here, that move from all over the world, all around the country, to work for NASA because they're fired up and excited about the potential of human spaceflight and robotic spaceflight and science experiments and all these technology and engineering challenges. And that's true at our commercial partners as well. Like, the time that we spent at Hawthorne working with SpaceX training on Crew Dragon, like, those people are so excited and so motivated, and they love what they do. And that type of stuff is infectious and exciting to be part of. And, you know, they're relying on knowledge and experience from people that have been doing this, you know, since the dawn of the space age. And so the technology may change, but the people are still passionate and exciting, and it's pretty awesome. We're pretty proud to be part of that.
There are very few things on planet Earth that bring us all together. Space is one of them. Seems like the World Cup right now is the other. Are those worlds colliding up there on the International Space Station?
Absolutely. We are watching both of them, and I'm following them pretty intently. And Jack's been working on his skills, and he's looking for a bid in maybe 4 years from now if someone sees his highlight reel.
I'm telling you, there's going to have to be the first soccer game up on the lunar surface.
Yeah, I think that could be true. That could be one of our lunar goals. I think, yeah.
There's the World Cup, and then there's the Lunar Cup. Sign me up for the Lunar Cup, because I definitely can't hack it in the World Cup. Awesome. Thank
yeah,
you, fellas.
Yeah, it's been fun to watch the World Cup from up here. Yeah.
Perfect. Fellas, thank you so very much. Houston, thank you. This has been, you know, a bucket list thing for me. I can't tell you how much it's meant to us and the entire team. Godspeed up there. We love looking up, knowing that you guys are circling above every single moment of every single day.
Thanks for those kind words. We're really proud to represent humanity up here as we take our next step to the moon and beyond.
Station, this is Houston ACR, and that concludes our event.
Thank you to all participants. Station, we are now resuming operational audio communications. Great flip, Anil.
Thank you. It was a little bit of a risk, but we pulled it off.
Houston Station on 2 for vision testing setup.
With you on 2 for vision test setup.
Let's show you now. I set up lab cam 2 instead of 1 since we have 1 set up for our general view. Is that good with you guys?
No issues. We're happy with that plan.
Happy. Vision Station on 2 for vision setup.
With you on 2. Go ahead, Jess.
We're logged out of SSC-7, so over to you.
Houston copies.
So, have you seen?
With you on 2.
Yeah, I see we don't quite yet have KU yet, but I'm ready to get started. Is this one that I need to set a grid? Anything else in the box, please?
We don't need anything else for this, just you and LSG.
Okay, copy. Would you prefer to wait for a few minutes, or I can go ahead and just start getting it, and then we should have it soon, right?
You can go ahead and start getting in, and we'll get started.
Sounds good.
Space to Huntsville on Space to Ground 2 for Jessica and Ivy Jim. We are going to go ahead and label that IV bag with an end time of 15:06.
This on 2 for Max. See this setup.
Munich with you for Max Sivis.
Hey, good afternoon. I am doing the Max Sivis setup, and I just unstowed the pump volume calibration syringe and the calibration syringe tubing. And looking at it, it looks like there's a small hole in the syringe tubing. I believe I could probably put some Kapton tape over it and seal it up, but wanted to check in about this first. It just looks like where the tube bends, there's just a little bit of a crack that has a bit of a hole. It's about maybe half a millimeter wide and half a centimeter long.
Okay. Thank you for the report. We are briefly checking, but it looks like a good proposal.
Copy.
And Chris, Munich back with you. So for your plan, of course, appreciate it and it will work, but for the priority, we would like you to continue with the power up of the equipment so that the ground can start the software update.
Copy that. I'll hold off on that for now and keep going with the power up. Yeah. Unfortunately, it's taking a little bit longer today. We used to have all these all the items for this stowed in reasonably convenient spots, and we have moved them to very inconvenient spots since I think we use it a lot less frequently. So it's taken me a while to get everything unstowed.
Copy. I can imagine with the new visitors, yeah, you will have fun on board.
Munich station on 2. I've completed through step 2.2 of 2.104. PPFS is powered up.
Munich copies. Thank you. And I think we can start with our ground activities.
Copy all. I will do the repair of that small hole in the tubing, and then I will continue getting things cleaned up and out of the way here.
And Chris, we have one go back because we do not receive the telemetry now on ground. So there would be in your setup procedure in the step 2.7, you would have a table and you would check the Ethernet cable in table 2 to the AV3 interface.
Copy that, yeah, it should be plugged in, I'll double check.
So please unplug and replug again. We had already this issue in the past. And we see data coming in now.
Copy all. The Ethernet cable did seem very secure. I unseated it and reseated it, unclicked and reclicked. So hopefully it's good and stable now.
Thanks. And like I said, at least for now, we received telemetry, so should be all fine. Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
Station Huntsville on Space to Ground 2 for Sophie and HRF at your convenience.
Huntsville, Sophie is with you
too. Hey, Sophie, we just wanted to let you know that we received your HRF questionnaire, so you don't have to redo them.
Great news. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Station Houston on 2 for Chris for WHC Stowage at your convenience.
Houston, Chris on 2 for the WHC Stowage, and I also have an EMU question.
I've got, first I'll give you the WHC pump set stowage location, and then I'll take your EMU question after, so let me know when you're ready to copy.
You copy.
All right, for that WHC pump SEP from yesterday, new recommended stowage location, node 3 aft 5 in the Alpha 2 locker, half CTB 5094, labeled small atom return.
Just one clarification. I mean, the WHC pump separator is pretty big. I mean, it'll take up at least half of that CTB. I just wanted to make sure, maybe more, just wanted to make sure that that's what we're expecting.
We're expecting that CTB to be mostly empty, and we also got words that if for whatever reason it doesn't fit in the CTB, you can just throw it in the locker and let us know.
Okay, copy all. Yeah, I mean, I think if the CTV is mostly empty, it'll totally fit. It'll just take up most of the space in it. Just wanted to make sure that that all made sense. Cool. I will get that in work shortly.
Copy all. And you had an EMU question for us?
Yeah, so I'm looking at this EMU swap activity, I moved EMU 3013 to the aft ETA and swapped it with 3003 and put 3003 in the crew lock. The step 4 is to bundle EMU 3015, and I was talking with Jessica, and she just did a Reba-powered hardware checkout on this one, so I guess our understanding, and that was the one she took out on the last EVA, so our understanding was that this was the one for the upcoming EVA, so we were trying to figure out, this is an EMU with a fresh battery, why are we bundling it? We just wanted to make sure we were doing the right thing, because it didn't seem to make sense with the big picture that we have in our minds on board.
Copy all, and we'll check.
Okay, yeah, I did not bundle it for now. I just kind of temp stowed the restraint bag, and just let me know if that is indeed actually what we want to do, and I will go ahead and do it. We just, it didn't make sense from our perspective, but we know we don't have the full picture of the plan.
Copy the config, good actions for now, and we'll get back to you.
Thank you very much. Houston, Chris on to the WHC stowage.
Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I was able to get the pump separator into that 0.55094, but recommend renaming it to small item return bag instead of small items return bag. It is now basically 100% full. It's got a couple small things in the lid, and the pump just takes up the whole rest of the volume of the bag.
Houston copy. It was great work. Thanks, Chris.
No worries. Thank you.
Houston station on 2 for vision testing.
With you on 2, go ahead.
Yeah, do we have 3 or 4 privatized for vision testing?
We are ready for you on Space to Ground 4.
Copy 4.
Station Houston on 2 for Chris and EMU swap follow-up.
Chris on 2.
Hey, Chris. So, big picture, we would like you to go ahead and perform step 4 of your EMU swap activity today in prep for future ops. At a high level, tomorrow, 3015 is going to move to the crew lock, and longer term we'll be moving out of the airlock to support OFV. There's just going to be a lot of suit shuffling coming in the next few days here.
Okay, copy. So the unit that's configured for Jessica is going to get bundled and get moved out of the airlock entirely, and then we'll get shuffled back in at some point. Okay, copy that. We will bundle it.
Good understanding. Thank you.
So, fish on two for Ivagen.
With you on two.
Okay, I've got two set up on the box. I've got the Satagris tether on, so I think I'm ready for gloves and to get in.
That is correct.
All right, SC fill complete. 42 minutes.
Excellent. We are going to turn air circ on.
Okay, what time should I write?
17:13.
Okay, copy, 1713.
Okay, for these ops, we're going to have 10 syringes to be used for each IV bag for a total of 40, and they're going to be placed in the Ziploc that we made earlier. The samples will be taken in reverse order, so we're starting with bag 2018, and then we'll work our way down to 2015. We'll have one syringe adapter to be used for each bag and interchange with each fluid syringe. So
okay, we only brought half of the syringes in here, though, if you recall.
We
said we were going to bring the other ones in. Okay?
I think you're reading my mind. Yes, we're going to bring in more halfway through this process.
Okay, so disconnect 2018.
Starting out, you'll have the 2018 and gather the first syringe, which should be 2071, and you're going to connect
Different.
That to the fluid syringe adapter.
Wait, you said you don't care which one. I'll take 2001. Okay, the adapter's connected. And then connect the syringe to that.
Now connect the fluid syringe adapter to the mini IV bag.
The adapter's connected already, and then connect the other end to the syringe?
Correct.
All right, that's done.
All right, you're going to withdraw 100 milliliters of fluid from the IV bag into the syringe, and you can use that Kapton line as a guide.
And we don't care about mixing or anything, you said before.
No mixing, but we need to open the clamp.
Yep, copy. The cap on line only goes up to 90, but you want 100?
Good catch. We will need 100.
Okay. Right, there's a bit of a bubble in that was just from the tube, but I'll stop right at 100. Then we're just going to do all of these, how many syringes? 10 per bag then?
That is correct. We're going to follow that sequence, so okay. Serial numbers should be increasing in order.
Okay, I've got 2072.
All right, and these syringes are going to go into the corresponding Ziploc bag that you labeled earlier.
Copy. There's some air in the syringes, so I'll eject that before I withdraw.
We're about 30 seconds from a handover, but it looks like you've got the hang of it.
I think I'll keep going. Fuel state is a little bit difficult in here.
And Jessica, if you need to, you can adjust that clamp to keep the water to the bottom of the bag to improve flow.
Okay. Not quite sure the math is going to work here on this. I think we're going to really fill 10 syringes worth.
So it might not quite fill the last bag. You just get as much as you can.
We've got two left still.
Copy. Just do best effort to get 100 in the second, for the first and then get what you can in the second.
Okay. I've got 80 in the last one. There's still some a little bit in the tubing, but it's like, you know, really pulling against the vacuum now, so that's all I can get.
And that will work.
Okay. Is the bag going in here as well, or is the bag trash?
If the you're going to disconnect the mini IV bag from the QD outlet, put it in the trash.
So you mean you want me to disconnect the adapters and the adapter not going in the trash too? Isn't it all going in the trash?
And checking. So the IV bag is going to be disconnected and trashed, and we're going to repeat the process for the next IV bag. And we're going to get a new fluid syringe adapter.
Right, so the other adapter is just being trashed, while being trashed.
That is correct.
Okay. So is anything else going in here, or should I seal up this 2018?
It should have the 10 syringes, and you can seal it up.
Okay, so 17-6.
That is correct, and you'll use the 261 series, which should be in its bag. You'll use those syringes in order. So you can try to stage them on the Velcro or just pull them out of the bag, whichever is easiest for you.
Yeah, they're not in order in the bag, so I think I'm going to have to take them out. I've got 2017, I'm putting an adapter on it.
Copy.
And I'll start with 2061.
Perfect. And Jessica, just a big picture update. PD has now requested that we return the mini IV bags, so the bag you're working on right now will go in the bag with the syringes, and then we'll get 2018 out of the trash and put it in the bag with those previous syringes.
Right. And the adapters still get trashed, I'm assuming.
That is correct. The adapters get trashed.
So that's got a big air bubble sucked in it. Do you want me to go withdraw past 100 in that case, or just stop at 100? Because I don't think we'll probably not make 100 anyway in the other end.
You can try to push the air bubble back into the bag and just withdraw the water.
Yeah, that's not that easy in microgravity because now the bubbles are all broken up in it, so that would require quite a bit of effort, but I can take time to try it if you want.
Just give it one try, but if it's too difficult, we understand.
Yeah, but we'll seal that up with the bag.
And how much were you able to pull into that last syringe?
It was about 100, but it was not, there was some air in there, so not quite 100, but I filled to the 100 line.
Copy.
Okay, so I'm assuming I'm going to take some of this stuff out, and then we'll get the other syringes.
Yes, but before that, we are going to perform a closeout and get the SD card.
Okay. Feeling these giant bags in here is not fun.
Yes, we're hopefully going to get you some more real estate, although it's going to be a trade-off.
Okay, so we're ready to remove the SD card. We're going to turn it off first.
I'll have to turn it off first, so there should be the system actions menu. You're going to select back to move to the main menu, then select down. That highlights the ready shutdown. Select ready shutdown, and select ready to shut down.
All right, it's ready to power down.
All right, you can remove the SD card and put it in its case.
I still see ready to power down, and it's not off like I think it was last time. I guess I'll see the screen.
Copy.
Okay. Is that okay to still remove the card?
We are powering it down now.
Okay, I see it's blank now.
All right. Now you can remove the card.
All right, it's removed.
Put it in its case, and we're going to be removing both those bags full of syringes and the case with the card in it.
Okay. I think that will be easier if I just do it through the front glove port ring, if that's okay.
And that works for us.
Okay. And I've got everything out. And then
right.
I guess I'll put the other syringes in. I can do that when I go back in.
Yes, before you do that, you can go ahead and put that SD card into the LSG laptop. And then put those other syringes into LSG.
Okay, the card's in.
And we're approaching a KULOS, so once you get gloved up, you'll have to turn AirCirc on.
Okay. Am I waiting for the card first, or am I leaving the card out here?
You can leave the card.
You want to get my AirCirc for me? Not on me. It's okay. I'm doing this again tomorrow. Yes, please. Yep. All right, we've got AirCirc back on. Which number syringes are we starting with?
We are on bag, the IV bag will be 2016, and you'll be using the 2050 series of the syringes.
All right, copy. Well, some of these don't have Velcro.
That is unfortunate.
Okay, bag 2016.
And you'll be doing the same process you did with the previous bag. And for those syringes, if you're having trouble with them because they don't have Velcro, you can keep them in the bag and just report the serial number as you use it.
That's okay. I've got them all in order now.
Copy.
And from Sophie, 2 for AGA batteries.
With you on 2 for AGA. Go ahead.
So the dual Canon LAN battery charger had 2 solid LEDs, so fully charged, and the 2 batteries, serial number 1007 and 1006, have 4 green LEDs.
Copy all, and you are go in step 5.1.
Okay, go 5.1.
And Jessica, back with you on 2. Can you get us the fluid syringe adapter serial number? There, you know, you're losing this one. And Jessica, back with you. Sorry, we walked into a handover.
It was 2009.
Copy, 2009. Thanks.
Okay, this one got to 75 mils, and now it's pulling on the vacuum. Some of the tubing, but with a vacuum in the bag, I can't get any more out.
That is okay. 75 works.
All right, we'll go to the last one.
Yes, moving on to the final bag, which is 2015, and the final series of syringes, the 2040 series. And we'll take the serial number of that adapter when you get it.
Jason, Sophie, 2.
Go ahead on 2, Sophie.
AGA activity complete.
Houston copies.
Do you guys want to switch back the 3 or 4? Switch my ATU from the ground, if you like.
We can stay on 2. Station Houston on 2 for Chris and timeline.
Chris on 2.
Hey, Chris, if it's amenable to you, we would like to propose canceling DPC for today. Just let us know if your team's okay with that.
Yeah, I think that will be okay with us. Let me check in with everyone and see if anybody has any topics that we'd want to keep DPC for, but otherwise let's plan on canceling it unless you hear otherwise.
Copy all, and second for you, Chris, your 1930 activity, you have a go. All ground activities are complete for that. So your go for your 1930 activity at your convenience.
Copy go for my 1930 PPFS show. Perfect. Thank you.
All right, and that one also made it to 100, but there's probably about 15 mils of air in there, and it's in a vacuum.
Let me copy.
Yeah, I will trash the adapter and get that bag in with the syringes.
All right. Then let me know when that's complete. I'll have some more steps.
All right, you can give me the next steps.
All right. Now you can lock the thumb clamp on the inlet water bag and remove the inlet water bag clamp from the water bag, temp stow the water bag clamp, and then unroute the inlet water bag by pushing the lever up to unlock. Disconnect the inlet water bag from the filter box QD and place the inlet water bag into the trash bag.
All right, that's complete.
All right, now you can doff your sleeves, installing the two glove rings. Toss the nitrile gloves.
So seal up the trash, Rob.
Yes, seal the trash bag first.
All right, and all this stuff's going to come out. I'll take it out through a glove port again because I don't think the trash bag will fit out through this side.
Yes, and you will need a towel. You're going to be removing the trash bag and the Ziplocs containing the syringes.
Okay, and then is this all in the show notes, locations for this stuff?
We're going to need to reclaim the water from that inlet water bag that's in the trash bag, leave that towel out to dry, okay. And get the SD card from LSG, put it in the case, and put the case, or from the LSG laptop, put the card in the case, and put the case back into LSG. And everything else will be in the stone nut.
All right, that sounds good.
And we will
like more of the same tomorrow or something else.
Tomorrow you're just filling two bags and we're going to close out the payload.
All right, cool. I'm glad that it's working so well.
Yes, we'd all like to thank you for your hard work on this. We know you're working with a lot of hardware today, but you made it look easy.
No problem. All right, well, I will come off box and do the rest of the stowage and water reclamation, and I will speak to you guys tomorrow.
Talk to you then.
All right, thank you. Station on 2 for IVGM stowage.
With you on 2.
Yeah, that 1.05169 is full. I could only fit one of the four in there. Either we need a different staging bag or a larger staging bag if we want to keep them all together or something else for the other three.
Yes, we're going into a handover, but you can grab a 2.0 and label it payload staging bag and let us know the serial number. You can put everything from that 1.0 into the 2.0.
Okay, I'll convert 1.05169 into a 2.0, and I'll put the serial number in a crew note, and I'll put it in the same location in overhead 1.
Perfect.
Station Munich for Sophie. Please give Munich a call when convenient.
Munich, Sophie on 2. I'm listening.
Yeah, Sophie, so final call for me. the Relax Pro close out. So thanks for the additional time that you allowed for the ground to troubleshoot the connection of this watch. Unfortunately, the issue was not solved, but it looks we are facing a major watch internal issue. So not really promising. The laptop is already powered off. Please disconnect and stow the smartwatch cable, so both of them that you used today and the watch itself, in the Relax Pro CDP. So no action on the watch itself, and also the camcorder, of course, can be switched off.
The camcorder switched off, and cable stowed back to the CDP and watch as well, right?
That's a good readback. So both cables and the watch itself back into the CDP 0.5 for Relax Pro serial number 5115. And that would conclude the activity.
Okay, that can work. Thank you very much.
Welcome and have a good evening. And as we did not have an evening TPC, I just used this call to also welcome Anil, as I was his training lead, so welcome on board.
Well, pass the message. Thank you for him.
And I know the cosmonauts are busy on their DPC.
Station Huntsville on Space to Ground 2 for any available U.S. OS crew and laptop help.
Station is with you on 2 for laptop help.
Hey, Chris, we need a hard power cycle of the ELC-7 laptop at lab port 2.
ELC-7 lab port 2, hard power cycle. I can help you out with that.
Good readback. Thank you.
Huntsville, Chris on 2 for ELC-7.
With you on 2.
Unfortunately, it looks like ELC-7 is not a happy camper. I gave it a hard shutdown, and when I power it on, all the lights from the backlight come on for about, I don't know, 5 or 10 seconds, and then turn off again, and it basically kind of is going through like a reboot loop. And nothing is displayed on the screen. I'm wondering if it needs a field strip or something like that.
We are going to try a hard reset with all power removed. So remove the battery, hold down the power button for 15 seconds, then put the battery back in and turn it back on.
Yeah, yep, it works.
And make sure upstream power is removed before removing the battery.
Yep, absolutely. Will go. In Huntsville, Chris on 2, unfortunately no joy. I turned the emerald brick off, took the power out, took the battery out, held down the power button for 30 seconds, put it all back together, and same behavior. All the backlight lights come on for 5 seconds, and then cap lock and numb lock blink once, and then it powers down and kind of goes into a reboot cycle.
Well, it looks like the next option is a field strip if you're up for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get it done. I'll do a quick field strip, pull the hard drives, put them back in, and we'll see what happens.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Huntsville, Chris on 2. Unfortunately, no joy with the field strip either. Same behavior.
Well, we appreciate you trying, but it looks like we're going to have to schedule a shell swap.
Yeah, unfortunately it looks that way. I will power it off so it comes out of this reboot loop and leave it as is. But, yeah, happy to shell swap it whenever you guys have a replacement shell for it.
All right. We're looking to schedule that at a different time, so thanks for your work.
No worries. Yeah, thanks.
Chris Houston on 2. While you're there, we have an answer to your Apple Watch question if you'd like it tonight.
Well, I'll take that answer.
All right, big picture is your Apple Watch and accessories will be returning to Earth, but not with you. If you can put them all in a Ziploc If you think there's still room for that in your one small item CTB that you put the WHC pump separator in earlier, that one works for us. I can remind you where it is. If not, I have an alternate.
The one small item CTB is perfect. I will put it in there tonight, so consider that done.
Fantastic. Thanks, Chris. Have a good night.
Thanks, Jenna.